Anyway, what do you do when you come to a crossroad? Anyone know? Stop. Stop, that's right. You stop, you look both ways, and then you make your decision as to which way you're going to go. The literal definition of crossroads might be something like the point where two roads meet, but it's often used to mean a situation that requires an important choice to be made. My sermon today is called At the Crossroads, and it's about that place we are called to contemplate our future and make the decision about where we're heading. Do we need a course correction? So, dear Lord, please speak through me today. Lord, prepare hearts to receive your word. I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. And Lord, I pray that this message will be received. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this morning I'm going to speak from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. I love the book of Ruth. It's one of my favourite books in the Bible. It's actually one of 66 of my favourite books in the Bible. I really like the Bible. It's a wonderful picture of our salvation and what Jesus has done for us. Last week, Pastor John suggested that you read the book of Ephesians. Hands up, who read the book of Ephesians? Well done. Well, well, well. That's really good. This week, I'm going to urge you to read Ruth. It's only short. It's only four chapters, but there's so much in those chapters. In fact, you know, there's actually a funny story related to the book of Ruth involving Benjamin Franklin. Do you all know who Benjamin Franklin is? Sort of 18th century American guy. He was serving in the French court when he heard some of the aristocrats criticising the Bible one day. They said, oh, it's unworthy to be read and it lacks style. So Benjamin decided to play a trick on them. He wrote the Book of Ruth out longhand, and he changed all the names of the towns and the people to French names. And then he read the manuscript to the French elite. And they loved it. Oh, they said, it was elegantly constructed, and what a touching story. Where did you find such a manuscript? And he said, it's from that book you despise. It's the Bible. Oh, red faces all around. Your Bible is the most important book you will ever read. Magnificently woven together by the greatest author of all times, Almighty God. Its words are spirit and truth and have the power to transform. And it's through getting to know the words of your Bible that you get to know Jesus. Jesus is the word. Read your Bible. It's your treasure. In saying that, we're going to read from Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Now, I bet you think this is a pretty reasonable thing to do. There's a famine in the land. Why not move somewhere more productive until the hard times are over? But you know what? God's ways aren't our ways. This was actually a wrong move. You see, the time of the judges characterized a moral decline in Israel, and this famine was actually God's chastisement for disobedience. So you could say that leaving the promised land at this time could be considered running away from your consequences. It would be like placing your child in his room for time out, but they climb out the window and go somewhere else. It was wrong. And choosing to go to Moab of all places, Deuteronomy 23 verse 6 instructed the Jewish people regarding the Moabites, do not seek a treaty of friendship with them as long as you live. This is because the Moabites would not give bread or water to the Jews when they came out of slavery in Egypt. In fact, they sent Balaam to try to curse them. So you could say that this family had well and truly stepped outside the boundaries of God. Ruth 1:2 says, the man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. But, you know, it didn't go well for them there. In fact, Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. Eventually, those two sons married Moabite women. Mahlon married Ruth, and Chilion married Orpah. Neither produced any children, and after 10 years in Moab, both of these boys also died. Naomi lost the rest of her family. Moab seems to me to typify the world. At one time, it looked so attractive, so much more attractive than God's kingdom or God's ways. But eventually, it showed itself to be a barren place that produced only death. Moab was only supposed to be a sojourn, you know, a period of time away from Judah until the famine broke. So Naomi didn't give up her longing to return home. She didn't give up her faith in her God, despite acting disobediently and leaving Judah in the first place. And she didn't give up treating her daughters-in-law with utmost kindness, love, and respect, even after her sons had died. And yet, you know, both Ruth and Orpah were actually idol worshippers. They worshipped multiple gods, but the chief god of the Moabites was Chemosh. 1 Kings 11 verse 7 calls Chemosh the detestable god of Moab, and God called Moab his wash basin in Psalm 60 verse 3. The Moabites were descendants of Lot's incestuous relationship with his oldest daughter. So not a great start for this race of people, and not a great environment to live in. Nevertheless, a beautiful bond of peace, unity, and love had obviously formed between these three women who had each lost a husband. They obviously enjoyed being together. They enjoyed doing their lives together. And I think it's really interesting that the idol-worshipping daughters-in-law actually preferred the company of Naomi, who worshipped the one true God, than the company of her own family. I think they saw something different in Naomi, something they'd never seen before. I think it was the truth and the life afforded by God which emanated through Naomi, despite her state of mourning over her lost sons and husband. So when Naomi heard that the famine was over in Judah and made the decision to return to Bethlehem, Ruth and Orpah wanted to go with her. Like, isn't that amazing? And the three of them set out together on that road back to Judah. And that journey, you know, it wouldn't have been easy. There were no buses or trains. It doesn't even say they had a donkey or a cart or servants. They were just on the road travelling, three women alone, probably on foot, carrying their belongings. But at some point on that dry and dusty road, Naomi stopped. She looked at these two young women and she said in Ruth 1 verse 8, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness. So as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me, may the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. You see, I think Naomi realized they had reached a crossroad. It was time to make a decision one way or the other. She did not want the girls going on with her just because they enjoyed her company. They needed to know what they were walking into. You know, it wasn't going to be an easy life. Hardship, perhaps rejection even. You know, the Jewish people didn't like the Moabites. So she kissed them goodbye. But they still insisted they would go on with her. So again, Naomi challenged them with the truth of this situation. They would have no husband to take care of them. They would be widows. They would be poor and vulnerable. She even felt the Lord's hand was against her. They would be better off if they went back to their own families. So as the reality of these circumstances sunk in, Orpah's resolve crumbled. She made her decision and she turned back to Moab. "Look," Naomi said to Ruth in verse 15, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth made a different choice in verses 16 to 17. "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." Ruth chose Naomi's people and Naomi's God. She chose the road that led to salvation. Orpah, on the other hand, she chose the road that led to death. Why do you think Naomi would stop on that road and try to dissuade these women from going any further with her back to Bethlehem? They'd been together for a long time and they did love each other. Ruth and Orpah wanted to be with Naomi. She had been a great mother-in-law. No doubt Naomi would have wanted both Ruth and Orpah to come to faith in God, the God of Israel, the one true God. But she would not have them come on her account. If they did come, they would have to make a deliberate choice and sit down and count the cost. Jesus was like that. He didn't make everything sound rosy. He wanted disciples who would stick with him. So he told the hard truth. In Matthew 8, verse 19 to 20, it says, "Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.'" In other words, it would sometimes be uncomfortable to follow Jesus. The inconveniences Naomi had outlined persuaded Orpah to return to Moab. She kissed Naomi and left. She loved Naomi, but it turned out she loved her simple pleasures and her country more. Ruth, on the other hand, heard the same arguments, saw the same difficult future ahead in Bethlehem as a widow, with nowhere to live and no assured future, yet it made her heart more resolved to go on with Naomi and never to return to her own country. She loved Naomi, despite Naomi's sorrowful present nature. She saw something else in Naomi that she wanted to cling to. I think she saw God. Jesus said in John 14, verse 7, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." And I think it was because of what Ruth saw in Naomi, the God of Israel and his ways and principles and precepts. That was why she made the decision to go on with Naomi. She would travel to a country she'd never seen. She would live in a place with her anywhere, you know, be it a stable or a palace. She would embrace Naomi's people as her own, even though she'd never met them. She would embrace Naomi's God, worship only him, trust in him alone, serve him, and in everything be ruled by him. She would let go of all the gods of Moab. She would die where Naomi died and be buried in her grave. Even death would not separate her from Naomi. She didn't even want her body taken back to Moab. This was a total life and death commitment to Naomi. her people and her God. No going back. What a woman. That's the kind of commitment God wants from us. That's why Naomi stopped on that road. She wanted Ruth and Orpah to search their hearts and see what would come out. Both young women loved being in the company of Naomi, but that wasn't enough. To go forward together, they needed to have the same heart for God, the same values, the same love of God's people, the same purpose, and the same end destination, heaven. At this crossroad, they had to make a decision. There comes a time when we all come to that crossroad in life. We have to make a decision. Which way am I going? Life or death? Christ or the world? Jesus wasn't afraid of taking people to that place of decision. He did it over and over, and sometimes people left him. One day, you know, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. He was teaching that he was the living bread. He said in John 6, verses 53 to 54, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Many of his disciples complained that that was a hard teaching, and they left Jesus. In John 6, verses 67 to 68, it says, "Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, 'You don't want to leave too, do you?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" This teaching by Jesus at the synagogue created a crossroad. His disciples had to really contemplate their faith in him and make a decision to believe and go on, or disbelieve and go in another direction. And it seems to me that those that chose to believe drew that much more closer to God. What happened to those who turned away? You know, in my heart, I like to think they got another chance to say yes to Jesus. But did they? I guess we like to think that some decisions can be made later, that you don't have to deal with it now. But sometimes later never comes. You know, while John was outside working at his ute a couple of months ago, he saw this amazing grasshopper. We get the most enormous grasshoppers over our way. Honestly, it was this big. Maybe that big. But it was huge. He picked it up, as he loves to do, and he was looking at it intently. Now, I've seen John do this. He looked at every part of the creature and marvelled at its beauty. Then suddenly, the grasshopper took off, and John was watching it fly, when all of a sudden, whoosh, a magpie from nowhere just swooped down and grabbed it midair, and that was his dinner. That was a magnificent grasshopper in the prime of his life. Gone. Gone. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know when we're going to take our last breath. We don't know when it's going to be too late. If Jesus comes or you die before making a decision for Christ, it's actually too late. When you come to that crossroads in life, it's best to make the right decision there and then, rather than try to skirt around it or turn your back on them. Orpah chose to go back to the world she knew. That world was filled with idol worship and sin, which included human sacrifice. Nevertheless, what she knew seemed safer to her than stepping into the unknown with Naomi and Naomi's God. That decision led to death. Ruth chose to go on with Naomi back to Bethlehem, to a place where and a people as yet unknown to her. But she based her decision on what she saw in Naomi. She chose Naomi's God. She chose life. You know, eventually, Ruth fulfilled God's wonderful purpose for her life. And this Moabite woman who came from the wash basin of the world, as far as God was concerned, took her place in the genealogy of Christ. Jesus is directly descended from a Moabite woman. Because, you know, once you choose God, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. As we heard today, we sang that beautiful song. Your sins are forgiven and he remembers them no more. You are washed clean. So you see, at this crossroads, one chose one way, one chose another way. That's because God gives us our free will. It's our choice. So this morning, I'm here to tell you that God loves you all. God has a purpose for your life. God wants you to experience the life he created you to have. He wants you to have the peace and the purpose through a personal relationship with him. But you know what? If you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, then you are at the crossroads now. You've hit the crossroads. This purpose for your life, this peace, this personal relationship is accessed through your choice. Your choice to go on with God, your choice to make Jesus Lord. Which way will you choose? Why doesn't everybody close their eyes and bow their heads? Because I really want to ask if there's anyone here who would like to make that decision today, that decision to follow Christ, to make him their Lord and Saviour, to become a Christian, to have their sins forgiven, and to discover God's peace and his purpose for their lives. If that's you, can you raise your hand? If God is speaking to you today, just raise your hand so we can pray for you. Maybe there's someone here who enjoys the company of these City View folk, the way Ruth and Orpah enjoyed the company of Naomi, who would like to have what they have. There's something about them that's different to the other people that you meet. That difference is Jesus, and you can have him too. So if you want to receive Jesus, just raise your hand. He's waiting for you to say yes to him. Don't put off making the right decision. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be saved. Choose life. The way to eternal life is Jesus. Don't travel any further without making Jesus Lord of your life. Thank you. Contemplate the road you're on and make a course correction if you need to. So I'm just going to ask one more time. There's somebody here who would like to change the direction they've been heading in, who would like to choose life with Jesus. Why don't you raise your hand now? Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see all of those hands. You've made the right decision. What a beautiful decision to choose Jesus. Romans 10:15 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't we all say this prayer together? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from running my own life and now I ask you to run it. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh Lord, I thank you for these people who came to their crossroads today and made the decision to follow you. Lord, I pray that you will bless them, protect them, and guide them. And I pray that they will fellowship with other believers, as this is your will, and grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of you. We welcome them into the family of God and pray God's peace and purpose for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.